Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Thank you.
like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We would encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You can find us at YouTube at Church of Christ Preaching. We want to invite you that listen to us by radio to tune us in, same time, same station, and have a church in your home. Invite your neighbors to come over and worship with you, same time, same station next week. I got a call this past week, very encouraging, from England, from the United Kingdom, and we'd like to let all of our brethren know in England that we in the colonies are still here and we're doing real good and everything's fine. Keep us in your prayers. We can always use your prayers. I often hear from all over the world. I've got a guy that calls me and sings to me every week from Canada. He's in the French-speaking part of Canada, and he's the only English speaker over there, so he needs an English guy to talk to, I guess. We've got people from Africa. We've got a student that we've made into a minister, Pius, in Nigeria. We're just so proud of all these people and our missionaries in the Philippines. We want to give y'all a little idea of what our plans are for the future here. I plan to continue preaching these 53 to 55 minute sermons that allows us to make a 1 hour radio broadcast for several more years. I'm going to finish the book of Acts. I'm going to go back through the Old Testament and the prophecies of Christ and things of that nature, teaching archaeology and using a lot of pictures, things that you haven't seen before that I think will be very interesting, and making YouTube very, very appealing for our YouTube audience, because that's going to be part of the future, just like our website that now gets 3 million hits a year, enormous amount of visitors coming to our website. And YouTube can be just as big, especially if we get all these pictures. And Joe's doing a fantastic job. He's a regular Cecil B. DeMille. I'd encourage you to look at our YouTube sermon from last Sunday. He just did a marvelous job with that. He's got a cast of thousands. It's just all kinds of pictures he puts on YouTube. It's a wonderful thing. William, at some point in the future, in a couple of years, is going to begin to take over. We're going to change our format back from, instead of you having to be at church for an hour and a half, we're going to go to a regular hour worship service with a 30-minute sermon. I'm going to always be here. I'm going to always preach. I'm going to always teach till I die in some form or some fashion. But we're going to try to build a younger generation, a younger church, and we're going to try to begin doing that. We're going to do mailers and things of that nature. We're meeting with the Walnut Hill Mission Committee tomorrow evening, and I'd ask for your prayers regarding that, that God would bless us, that we'll be able to raise some support. You know, I've worked here for 23 years for no pay. I haven't taken 1 cent in pay from this church. Nobody else is going to do that. I'm a missionary and an evangelist, and God has blessed me, and so I really don't have to have pay because I have a duplex and I'm able to get along. And that's all I care about, is getting along and preaching the gospel. It's going to cost a preacher getting out of college about $1,000 a week. At a big church, William could get $1,500 a week. We're paying him $200 a week. That's ridiculous. It's peanuts. We need to raise him better support. He's living with me now. He wants his own apartment. He says that I snore as loud as I preach. And he's got to have his own place, and, you know, he needs a place where he can have young people and so forth. We need y'all to pray about that, that we'll be able to raise support from other larger churches. We turned down a $4 million offer on this property. We could have fled here and go out like White Flat and move out, take the money and run and go out there with all of the fancies. And we've decided that we want to stay here and stick it out and have a church in the inner city. There's no church like this. It's half black, half white. This is a wonderful thing we got going. Those of us who were in the civil rights movement back in the 60s, Al Lipscomb was a personal friend of mine. I knew all of the original people that was involved in this stuff. This is what we all hoped for and prayed for. But the pendulum has swung, man, and bad people has got a hold of all of that stuff now today. But we're doing right here at Main Street Church of Christ, thanks to the help of all of you, exactly what we all fought for back in the 60s, in having all races of people worship together. And we want to encourage you to continue to help us here to do this thing, because it's a wonderful thing. It's exactly what God has in mind. We're going to talk today about name. Name is a big thing in the Bible. beginning back in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, this Messiah who's going to come. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government, the church of Christ, is the government of the Messiah. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. He'll control the government. He'll be the head, the king of the government. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name, here's this word name now. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This Messiah who's going to be born is going to be the Mighty God. He's going to be the Everlasting Father. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. What is God like? He's just like Jesus. Everybody who saw Jesus saw God. Of the increase of his government, of the increase of the Church of Christ throughout history, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. They'll never end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And so God has said that the Messiah is coming. He came and lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for you and I. All the sins of the world were put upon him if you will accept it. And so now we're studying the book of Acts, a story of world conquest, how the gospel began in Jerusalem and went out from Jerusalem and conquered the entire world. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Find us at YouTube. Go to our website, click on YouTube, subscribe to us. We'd invite you to tune in same time, same station next week, and invite your neighbors over and have a house church in your house. For those of you that want to help with Hurricane Harvey, the Hustlers are already out. And so if you want to send money somewhere that you know that it'll go to the right place, just send it to us and we'll get it to the Impact Church, our sister church and inner city congregation in downtown Houston. And they don't have going what we have. I mean, they're mostly black. And so isn't it wonderful that we have an integrated Church of Christ here? To the bigoted Jews, it's been like the redcoats are coming. Each successive event in the book of Acts builds upon the preceding event. In the chapter 10, the Gentiles break through the middle wall of partition. Now the Jerusalem church tolerates the spearhead invasion from the Gentile world. And we're going to begin reading, and we studied this last week. I'm just going to read through it really quick. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were at Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, Now you can tell how much importance this is to the conquest of the world by how much space is devoted to it. Acts chapter 10 and Acts 11, Luke devotes to this matter. And I was in the city of Joppa, that's where Jonah fled to keep from taking the gospel to the Gentiles in Assyria, which was Nineveh. I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance and saw a vision. Now notice how God is involved in this from the very beginning. The Jews have had 14 years to do worldwide evangelism, and they haven't done it. They've just taken the gospel to Jews only. And so God is going to get involved in it. And I saw a vision, and a certain vessel descending, as if it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. And upon which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, cats, and lizards, and stuff that Jews can't eat. And I heard a voice saying to me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, No, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean is at any time entered into my mouth. Peter took this as a testing. He thought God was testing him, trying him. And he said, No, you don't catch me flat-footed. I'm on my toes down here. Verse 9. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And a spirit. Now we had a vision, we had a voice, we had the Lord, we had a voice, we had God, we had the Spirit. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren, now the Jews in the mouth of two or three witnesses will ever work be established, and Peter took with him six witnesses. He took twice as many witnesses because he knew that he was going to have some trouble from the white folks when he got back to Jerusalem, that he's going to have to answer for all this. So he took six witnesses. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words. See, you can't be just saved without hearing the gospel message. Will tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as it did on us from the beginning. They were literally baptized with the Holy Spirit. Nobody else other than Pentecost and Cornelius is baptized with the Holy Spirit. Other people receive the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody receives the Spirit, the Doria is a Greek word, the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise, but nobody else is baptized in the Holy Spirit in the whole Bible except for on Pentecost and Cornelius and his household. But they got the same thing that the apostles got in the beginning. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them as on us from the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said that John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, it was just like we the apostles got, as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace, and they glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now we're going to break down this sentence. Notice there are three verbs in this sentence. First is they held their peace. This indicates that the criticism was stifled. Second, they glorified God. The second says that even for believing Jews, that for Gentiles to be saved, it was absolutely astounding. They couldn't believe that people like you and I were all Gentiles. That people like you and I, black people, white people, could be saved. They couldn't believe it. They thought only Jews could be saved. Just absolutely astounding. Then the third verbal clause is that granted repentance. The third is a special note by the structure of it. It is an aorist tense verb, which means a one-time action. There's past tense verbs, there's present tense verbs, and there's future tense verbs. And in Hebrew, there's future perfect tense verbs. But this is a verb showing that the Jews thought that this is just a one-time deal. They weren't about to adopt this as a policy, but they conceded for this one time that God had worked a moral miracle, but they weren't about to commit themselves to the principle of allowing Gentiles to be saved. Now comes the story of the rising tide of Gentile converts. We encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. If you go on there, you can go to YouTube too. You can find us the same way under Church of Christ Preaching. We invite you to tune in same time, same station next week. Invite your neighbors over and have a church in your home. Sing, use us for preaching, pray, take the Lord's Supper, gather up a contribution, don't send any money to us, use it to do good in your own neighborhood, wherever you're at, throughout the world, and let's conquer the earth for Jesus Christ. The church scattered is far more powerful than the church all together in one big building. Now the rising tide of the Gentile converts, Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but Jews only. They that were scattered abroad, Luke takes us back now three chapters to Acts chapter 8 to begin this part of his story again. This is a focal point, so he goes back in history and he says, let's follow the story from the scattering. So Acts chapter 8 verse 3. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, dragging them out by the hair of their heads, in other words, and committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere crying like babies. Now, that's not what that says, is it? It says they went everywhere preaching the word. And that's what we need to do. You need to go everywhere telling everybody about Jesus. Wherever you're at, you need to tell everybody about Jesus. Back to verse 19 again. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to Jews only. As they went, they were preaching, but they were just speaking to Jews, not to every creature. In spite of Jesus teaching them during the 40 days that they'd be witnesses unto all nations, when in other nations they confined their preaching to just Jews. The message was not given to humanity, but to rather a particular segregated part of humanity, Jews only. Now back to verse 19. They traveled as far as Phoenicia. Phoenicia was a long, fertile plain between Lebanon mountains and the sea, containing the famous Old Testament cities of Tyre and Sidon. These preachers perhaps founded churches there, for we find them existing later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 21 and 27. Cyprus was a famous island in the Mediterranean Sea. In the Bronze Age, the first cities were built, and their copper resources were widely traded. The Greeks were inhabiting Cyprus from the Middle Bronze Age to the Late Bronze Age, and this is attested by 15th century Linear B script, which was found in the excavation of the palace there. And Linear B script is symbolic Greek script that predates written language. The Hebrews really had the first written language, Sir Flanders Petrie proved, when he found the Proto-Sinaitic script at Sir Beit El-Kadim in the Sinai, which was probably Mount Sinai. And so this script was from ancient Greece. And if you want to compare the world then, compare the people, the Greek mythology, to the Bible. What are you going to believe? You going to believe David killed a giant, or are you going to believe that Minos, the king of Crete, had a palace, and under it he had the monitor, which was a half-human, half-monster, and that the people of Athens had to send 6 virgin men and 6 virgin women for this monster to eat every week? I think it's easier to believe that the God of heaven could have helped David get that rock, hit that giant right between the eyes, and kill him deader than a duck than it is to believe that there's a such thing as a monitor under a palace. What silliness. Antioch was the capital of the whole province of Syria, including Palestine. It's situated on the Orontes, a river, and a short distance from the sea. Antioch was next to Rome and Alexandria in Egypt as cities of the world in greatness, commerce, and wealth. It was cultured. It was luxurious. It was corrupt. It was a Greek civilization and very wealthy, very luxury of Asia. It was an Oriental Rome. And so notice they were preaching to the Jews only. These disciples departed Jerusalem before the conversion of Cornelius and his household and the Gentiles, and so they knew nothing whatsoever about the Gentiles being acceptable to Christ. Verse 20. And some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Notice these are unknown guys. We don't even know who they were that made this great leap forward, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke to the Grecians, to the Gentiles, not to Hellenized Jews, but to the Gentiles, preaching the word of the Lord Jesus. This is the first time the Gentile Greeks, not Hellenized, were preached to. Note specifically that it was unnamed brethren, referred to simply as men of Cyprus and Cyrene, not the apostles from Jerusalem who preached and baptized these Greeks. Without distinction, the message of God is for all men. But unnamed believers from Cyprus and Cyrene led the way by being the first to preach the gospel to Gentiles without hesitation. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned to the Lord. When these raw pagans began to hear the gospel and proclaimed, a great number of them believed. Verse 22, then the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. The redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming. My God, there's Gentiles coming into the church. And so they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. This describes the anxiety of the Jerusalem church when they first heard that the Gentiles were coming by the droves and not just a single family. They could accept a one-time deal, a single family, but now these people are coming by the droves and coming into the church. So this great influx from a city was known for its moral laxity. They had all kinds of temples and temple prostitutes, and sex is what went on in the temples in the ancient world. It was the God of heaven who took sex out of the temple and put it in a home where it belonged. So they sent forth Barnabas. The church dispatched Barnabas that he might investigate. He held total confidence of the church in Jerusalem. He was a Grecian Jew. He was a Hellenized Jew. And also his friend Saul, another Hellenized Jew. He was chosen as a suitable man to go to Antioch to see whether there's any real work of the Lord going on. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. There's 100 videos on there of sermons. There's 1,000 written lessons. We downloaded 1,700,000 written lessons last year. We'd encourage you to tune in same time, same station next week and invite your neighbors and your family over to where they can hear the gospel too and have a church in your home. Verse 23, who when he, Barnabas, came and he seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. When he saw that it was truly the grace of the Lord, he rejoiced and gave it Godspeed, and the work grew and more in this metropolis. Note, this is the first church outside the bounds of Israel in Palestine. Antioch was to become the great missionary center for conversion of the world, of the Gentile world, for hundreds of years into the future, up into the Byzantine Empire, until it was conquered by the Muslims about the year 600. Most of this world, all of Turkey, was Christian. Most of this world, Syria and so forth, was Christian up until the Muslim invasion, and they take territory by force of arms, and they take territory by force while Christians will not learn war anymore. We're not going to conquer with a sword. We're going to conquer with the Word of God. Verse 24, for he, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added to the Lord. So he rejoiced when he saw the grace of God saving the Gentiles. To exploit this opportunity, the Holy Spirit needed a man of broader sympathies than Jerusalem could offer. They had had 14 years to get started, and they were still sitting on go. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. This needed one unimpeded by Jewish cultural scruples, and Barnabas knew the man for the task. He was not from Jerusalem, but from the Greek world, Saul of Tarsus. Now, he was a Hellenized Jew from the Greek world. He was educated in the best rabbinic schools in Jerusalem, but he was also highly cultured and he was a Roman citizen. And all of those things was a big deal back in those days. Seeing the great opening, he knew that Saul was the best man to aid him. His trip to Tarsus is supposed to have taken place in 43 A.D. Saul departed from Jerusalem in 39 A.D., so that means he spent about 4 years in evangelizing in Syria and Cilicia. The last we saw him was in Acts 9:30. Acts 11:26. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We're going to break this sentence down here. The main verb of the sentence is came to pass. The Greek has three subjects to this main verb. Assemble themselves together. Assemble themselves, taught is another verb, and were called is another verb. Now, the word called is in the passive tense, we're going to see. This last verb, were called, is in the passive voice. It normally means that the subject is a receiver and not the doer of the action. In other words, they were called by somebody else. So the translation into English gives the idea that the disciples were called by somebody else, Christians. God is a someone else. Speaking to the Jews during the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 65:15, he says, and you shall leave your name, Jew, Hebrew, Israel, you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. God's going to have a new chosen people, and it's not going to be the Jews. You shall leave your name for a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee. He did that in 70 AD, 40 years after the death of Christ. The Roman armies came. God sent the Roman armies as a matter of vengeance against Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. The Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. God's going to have a different chosen people. Now, in Isaiah chapter 62, the prophet takes up that same concept. For Zion's sake, and Zion, all of this is poetic language by the influence of the Holy Spirit upon Isaiah. For Zion's sake, Zion meaning the holy mount Jerusalem, the holiness, all of the goodness of God, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goes forth. The righteousness of God was demonstrated upon the cross of Christ. Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first. Now, where we see the gospel go throughout the world, everywhere Paul goes, he preaches to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. The Jews reject the gospel, then he turns to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are converted, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the righteousness of God is going to go forth from Jerusalem, the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, till the righteousness thereof goes forth as brightness, and the salvation as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. And all kings thy glory, every person, even kings, when they die, they're going to stand in judgment before this glorious Messiah. And thou shalt be called by a new name. You're not going to be called Jews. You're not going to be called Israel or Hebrews or anything else, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. So when the Gentiles hear the word of God, see verse 2, it says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. And then the result of the Gentiles hearing the word of God is that they'll be called by a new name. So now we go back to where we started studying today, Acts 11:1. So when the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God, so soon after this, a new name from the mouth of the Lord ought to appear. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This whole year, 44 A.D., they continue the work with great success. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The Jews called Christians Nazarenes or Galileans. Christians call themselves disciples, brethren, or saints. This main verb came to pass is an active infinitive with the word disciple serving as a subject. In other words, it was the disciples that did the calling. So with some justification of what we now know that the name Christian came from the mouth of the Lord, we could translate this clause, the disciples called themselves Christians first at Antioch. I'd like to encourage our radio audience, go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Tune in, same time, same station next week. Two clauses here in verse 26, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. You'll notice they're held together by the English word and. And so on one hand, they taught much people, and on the other hand, they were called Christians first in Antioch. So therefore, vitally related. See, this word and, T-E in Greek, holds together two ideas, so therefore vitally related to the teaching they receive. Indeed, as a consequence of the teaching that they received from Paul and Barnabas, the disciples took the name Christians. The new name was the effect of the year's ministry of Saul. The name was a result of the content of their teaching. The Greek ending of the word Christian, A-V-O-S in English, is I-A-N, meaning belonging to or a part of. We belong to Christ. We're a part of Christ. The word called is a verb, and it means a matter of business. When a man becomes efficient in some sort of business, he often takes upon the name of that business. As an example, shoemaker, somebody in the guy's family used to be a shoemaker. He used to be good at being a shoemaker. I wonder what Lawson was. The apple didn't fall very close to the tree on that one, did it? Barnabas and Saul taught most people things in life. In fact, the very meaning of life was belonging to Christ, who is the origin of life and the source of their new life. The business of the new convert's life was belonging to Christ. These were raw pagans in need of teaching the doctrine and the first principles of Christ. One's profession was a means of them making their living. But their real business, these new people, these new converts, their real business was belonging to Christ, being in Christ, and being Christian. In Jerusalem, they were all Jews, and they didn't change their God when they accepted Jesus. But in Antioch, the believers were mostly Gentiles and not Jews. They had broken with their gods, and they could not go back to their former temples. They had never been under the law of Moses. They were an absolutely unique body of believers. Being unique and finding their chief business in life was belonging to Christ, it was inevitable that they'd adopt this word, Christian, from the mouth of the Lord. God was involved in it, and they were just following the prompting of God. At Antioch in Syria, they flood in until numerically the Gentiles exceed the Jews. This creates a new phenomenon, something like as never before in history, a Church of Christ in which Gentiles are worshiping the God of the Jews and they outnumber Jews. Of a necessity, a new thing like this demands a new name, and this new name that characterized it was Christian. It's a divine name. It's a name that became known all over the world that even our enemies knew it. By Acts chapter 26, verse 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Even King Agrippa knew about this word Christian. It was a divine name from the mouth of the Lord. I'd like to tell you about the great call of the Restoration Movement. Restoration Movement is us in the Churches of Christ that seek to go back and restore original, primitive, New Testament Christianity that you read about in the Bible. When the Restoration Movement got to going really good in the 1800s, we had a rallying cry in this country, and we were first in growth in the world. And we told the world, we don't claim to be the only Christians, but we're Christians only. We won't be known by any other name or called by any other name but Christian. It's our name, it's His name, and that's the only name we'll be called by. We won't be known as Protestant or Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or anything else. It is a name far above. We're the bride of Christ, and brides always take the name of their husband. What do you think I'd have told Ginger when I married her if she'd said, well, Kelly, you know, you got this friend, MacJoy, and I think I want to be called Ginger MacJoy. What do you think I'd have told her? I think I'd have told her you married the wrong dude. If you want to be called MacJoy, you should have been married to him. But my wife's going to take my name. And I'm sure that Jesus feels much the same way, that He wants you to call yourself Christian. We see in 1 Peter 4:16, we see Peter says, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory God on this behalf. And then the divine name is seen again in Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The different congregations of the Church of Christ is what that means. The name of Christ is such a great name in Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, Jesus.
as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He has a more excellent name than the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Aaron. He's superior to everything in the Old Testament. In Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, giving him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Oh, how God loves us all. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Sons take the name of their father, don't they? I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Verse 27, in those days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. In these days, while Saul and Barnabas was preaching at Antioch, they came prophets. Verse 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, we'll see him later in the book of Acts, and signaled by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. In some kind of pantomime, he symbolized the coming of a famine that would scourge the Greco-Roman world. A famine throughout the whole world. This expression in the scripture often means a Jewish world in the days of Claudius Caesar. Josephus, a Jewish historian, in his Antiquities, chapter 20, verse 2 and 6, describes this great famine that prevailed in Palestine during the reign of Claudius Caesar, beginning at the close of 44 AD and lasting 3 years. Food had to be imported by the benevolent persons from Egypt and Cyprus, yet many perished. 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Jerusalem. Nothing reveals a genuine conversion more than a person's relationship to money. After Pentecost, disciples sold their whole goods and possessions and parted to anyone having need. How you feel about money will show really whether you have come to Christ or not. Money was number one in my life. I was a millionaire 3 times, lost it to the government. Last time wasn't to the government because Ginger got sick 9 times and went into a diabetic coma, and I had a heart attack trying to take care of her. I came here and sat on the back row of this church and never dreamed that I'd preach. I just hoped to go to heaven. And they tried to offer me money, and I said, I won't take any money. I knew that I had to change my attitude towards money. Money had been my problem all my life, and I had to change my attitude towards money. The reality and genuineness of the Spirit's work among the Gentiles is attested by the way that they opened up their generosity to the Judean brethren. This, above all, would demonstrate to those in Jerusalem the effectiveness of the Spirit's work in Jerusalem. This is the Spirit's way of showing the genuine commitment of the Gentiles that there was nothing phony about Gentile Christianity, which also they did, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. That's verse 30, ending that chapter. By the hands of Barnabas and Saul, the love of Christ was in their hearts. We see here the dawn of a new spirit that was to revolutionize the Gentile world. The Gentiles in Antioch extended their loving hands to relieve the distressed, bigoted Jews of Palestine. How wonderful. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're going to look now for a few minutes at the book of Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. We're going to begin looking there. This is a prophecy of the coming of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed, that word means Messiah. The Lord has messiahed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, those that are captive in sin, to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, not jailhouses, but the prison that Satan has us bound in with our sins, and we all have sins. to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That was in 70 AD when they destroyed Jerusalem. And to comfort all they that mourn. It's right out of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes. When you mourned in those days, you threw ashes on yourself from the fire and tore your clothes. To give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. The kings and priests and prophets were anointed with oil, and every Christian is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We're going to get a new robe if we're Christians, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I hope that you are becoming more righteous, that you are the planting of the Lord, that the Lord's Spirit is in your heart, that he might be glorified. And what kind of work will we do? And they shall build up the old waste places, in other words. The Gentile world is like a waste out there. And the Christians is going to build it up. We're going out from here to all the earth by radio. 111 countries last month. And they shall build up the old waste. And they'll raise up the former desolations. And they will repair the waste cities and the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The Jews won't know people like us, the Church of Christ. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your wine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Every Christian is kings and priests to God, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and following. And men shall call you the ministers of our God. And we're all kings, priests, and ministers to God. And ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. In Isaiah 62, where we heard about the new name, let's look at it. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, till this gospel message goes out of Jerusalem. And the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth. He is the light of the world, Jesus. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, people like us, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, Christian, that the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hands of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hands of thy God. And thou shalt no more the Gentiles be called forsaken. See, the Gentiles didn't have a way of salvation. They were worshiping false gods everywhere, all over the world. They actually believed Greek mythology. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall our land any more be desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. My delight is in her, is what that means. And thy land Beulah, that means married or claimed as a wife. In other words, the Gentiles are going to become what? The bride of Christ, Christians. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. As a young man married a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And we're married to Christ. Drop down to verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night, that make mention of the Lord, keep not sight. Remember that verse that says, they'll build the old waste places? That's exactly what we're doing here. When I showed up here, there's 40 old people here. They're all dead except for Burnett, Martha Wood, and Kenneth, who? Maggie Pope. She came after I was here. She wasn't here when I got here. You know, they thought too, we ought to close this place down. Brown Trail began saying, listen, y'all can just give us a church, and we'll sell it and use the money to do good with. And then White Rock, they said, well, you can give us a church, and we'll sell it, and we'll just do good with it. Well, we can do that. We don't need them to do that. What we need is we need to build a church here. We need to build the old waste places here. And we do that by preaching the gospel of Christ. And we do it not only here, but to all the world, 111 countries last month that we can prove. And there's places that don't have the internet that hurt us, I guarantee. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. You can just march right down here to the front and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can repent of your sins, be sorry for your sins, and be baptized into Christ, and have all your sins washed away. If you're here this morning, you're ready to become a Christian, why don't you do it before it's everlasting too late? If you need to help the church or the prayers of the church, won't you stand now while we stand and sing, come. Deanna comes this morning. She's been coming since she was homeless 4 or 5 years. She wants to become a Christian, put on her Lord in baptism. Deanna, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, I do.
You now want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord?
Yes, I do.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. You go in right over here, sister, and we're going to baptize you straight away. Same hour of the night like he did in the Bible.
All right, so Deanna, based on your confession before Almighty God and before the congregation, the Bride of Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call, and let's talk about your soul. You might be thinking I've gone too far, and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.